You know, corporate America is pretty scary right now. Welcome to the REI Society Podcast, everybody. Thank you guys for being here. Today, I'm talking about entrepreneurship and corporate America. Look, you know, over the last several years, almost two decades, I've been an entrepreneur. Actually, over 2 decades. I was one when I was a teenager. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you the story of my entrepreneurial journey so that you understand the eyes of an entrepreneur, just in case some of you are new and you're trying to figure out if real estate entrepreneurship is for you. And if you are already an entrepreneur in real estate and you're just going to be here for a ride, just listen, enjoy, because this is just pretty cool stuff that I'm going to be talking about. So when I was like 12 years old, actually, let's start off in the beginning. When I was like 8 years old, we would have yard sales. My family would get together with my aunt and uncle, my grandmother, and we'd throw on this massive family yard sale. And I would take the previous year's Christmas presents and put them on the table and try to make a few dollars, some toy dinosaurs, some G.I. Joes, some Ninja Turtles. A lot of times my aunt, she would get upset because I was selling stuff that she had just given me from a few months ago, especially if we did a spring yard sale, and she had just given me a lot of that stuff, for Christmas that year, that previous Christmas from before. It was pretty upsetting to her, but I'm thinking in my mind, like, I just want some money. Now, you got to think, I grew up in a trailer, and, you know, even though poverty was real, I had great parents and stuff like that, and they always provided for us. Poverty was real. I mean, you know, we just didn't have a lot. I mean, we were so poor. My dad had bought a pizza one time and he was short on funds. He actually got out of the car, walked into the trailer, dropped the pizza on the ground, and we had to eat this pizza with dirt on it. He tried to dust it off as much as he could, but we ended up having to eat that for dinner. That was that week's delicacy, and he dropped it on the ground, dusted it off. We had to eat that pizza with dirt. So you got to understand, when I was selling stuff at the yard sale, I was making money because something was inside of me. Like, I just wanted more. Now, flash forward to 12 years old, I'm wanting to make a little money. I'm riding a school bus and I see an opportunity. My mom bought me a bag of lollipops. She and I discussed. She would go in and purchase the goods, the product. I would be in debt for $3 for the bag of blow pops. But I would go on the school bus and sell these for 25 cents a pop, literally a pop. And I would probably pocket somewhere around $6 to $7 profit. After the first week, I gave her $3 and I realized I had $6 to $7 left over. I can do this in mass quantity. So after a couple of weeks of doing this, I was making like $20 a week or more, $20, $25 a week or more. Finally, the bus driver got a hold of it and told me, I couldn't do this. They were regulating me. I had my government shut down per se. And you know, that went away quick, but it made me realize that, man, you can actually buy something cheap. You can sell it and you can make money doing it. Later on, when I was like 15, 16 or 15 years old, say, before I was 16 years old, I was 15 years old and I would go run around my neighborhood, knocking on doors, trying to cut grass just to make some extra pocket money. Because I just wanted that capital. I don't even remember what I bought, you know, back in the day. It was probably CDs. You got to think I was a product of the 90s. And it was CDs. It was probably video games, Sega Genesis, Nintendo. I was probably buying that kind of stuff. And I wanted more money. So I'd go around, cut these yards with a push mower, making $20 a yard. And I probably pull in a couple $100 a week. This was something that was birthed into me. It was something when I realized I just wanted to make more money because I wanted to have more things, which for me was you know, just something that I had to do. It wasn't like it was a choice. I always had to make money. I don't know. I can't describe it. It's like this calling, I guess you can say. And I'm not saying that making money is necessarily a calling for everybody, but I'm saying for me, I just felt like I was called to go and do something, do more, provide for myself. I did go work for Foot Locker as a kid. Worked for Wendy's, worked for, my gosh, Winn-Dixie, which was kind of like a Piggly Wiggly, if you guys remember those two brands. I had these odd-end jobs, and I was just not happy at those. Worked for a movie theater. After a couple weeks, I was complaining. I got fired. They didn't like it. Man, I tell you what, as an entrepreneur, I complain a lot. I'm like, how can I do this better? How can I do that better? How can I make more money? When you start questioning like that in corporate America or at a job, they think you're complaining. For me, it's trying to grow. But for them, they're like, F you, get out of my way, you're fired. So same thing with Foot Locker. Actually, that was a good job. I actually was a stock boy, and then they put me on sales, and I was selling shoes. I did that for a couple of years when I was like 16 and 17 years old. And that kind of bought some time when I was 16 and 17 years old. But then, you know, I graduate and, you know, I'm going to college, don't really realize what I want to do with my life. So I drop out and, I start selling pizzas. I'm selling pizzas, I'm flipping pizzas now. I had a friend tell me that his dad was the manager of a Little Caesars, and then he eventually went to a Domino's. So we did it at both locations, but we could actually go take these pizzas. He was taking these pizzas for $3, $2 cost, and giving the owner $1 a pizza just to move volume through the store, to show numbers. And he didn't really care about massive profits. He just wanted $1 a profit. So we'd buy them for $2, one topping pizzas. And we would create a system where we would go out and sell sell these pizzas at like state universities, Georgia State University warehouses, timing it right at lunchtime when people were coming out and they were hungry, right when they were walking off the schoolyard, they were hungry, going into different malls and hitting up people around lunch, yelling out fresh hot pizza, $5, get your sausage, your pepperonis, your ground beef, cheese, we got it all, $5 pizzas. And every once in a while I would come out with a multi-topping pizza, like a veggie or a meat lovers, and I'd sell those for $10 to $12, but I would time these right at the different lunch times, and I had to go in at the end of the day, take all that money back, pay off that $2 plus $1 profit back to the manager of the store. He would get his $3 of high, and I was making up to $1,000 a week. I did that from like 18 to 20 years old, and I was going through the different malls and stuff, and I finally would run into people that I knew who were halfway through college, people that I graduated who were halfway through college, and I'm wearing a Little Caesars outfit, and I'm sweating and nasty, got grease all over me, and I'm carrying these pizzas. It's embarrassing when people that you know see you and you feel like you're destined for success, but you're in a pizza outfit and they're looking at you and laughing to themselves. They think they're in a better place because they're going to college and they're doing something with their lives, and you're sitting there and everybody's attacking you essentially because you can hear them laughing at you when they walk away. You know, two or three people just like, geez, look at that guy. I can't believe he dropped out of college. You know, it's embarrassing. I'm not proud. I wasn't proud of what I was doing. Looking back years later, I'm like, man, I was the mother heifer that was making $1,000 a week at 20 years old, and all those guys went in all that school debt and student debt, and now some of them are getting laid off, some of them are doing this and that. You know, it's a different lens, obviously, it's perspective. But I realized that this was not something I wanted to do. So my wife and I got married. We got married at 20 and 19. I was 20, she was 19. I decided that this was not something that I needed to do anymore. I could do pizzas on the side if I wanted to make a little extra money, which I did. I threw it to the side, and I got a corporate America job, and I was driving a coffee delivery van all over Atlanta, dropping off products in these different warehouses and these different skyscrapers, and I was only making like $500 a week, maybe $600, maybe it was $600 a week, and my family and my wife's family thought we were doing great. You know, he's got a job, he's going somewhere, he's a freaking delivery guy. But they thought that was security. These pizzas, nah, that's not security. This is something to be proud of. You're working for a company now, a company that sells coffee and delivers to all these places. Obviously, they thought about it with the revolutionary Keurig and things like that. I would have been out of my job and fired and laid off anyways later on down the road if I had stuck there. After like 6 months of this, getting in wrecks, sweating like crazy in the summertime, you know, people talking, bosses talking down to me, I had enough. I walked off that freaking job, told them to go stick it where the sun don't shine. I went back to flipping pizzas, and then my wife and I got married. I mean, we already got married. We bought a house. We were living in a townhome community. We bought a house, and a real estate agent had found this house and we looked at it, we bought it, and I saw that she was doing what she was doing, and I felt like, man, if she can do it, I can do it better. She didn't really do much work for the $3,700 she made. I'm like, man, I can do this better. So I never look back, and I've talked about this in other episodes. I never look back. I rode the real estate storm from 20 to 27 years old, from 20 to 22, I bought 20 rental homes, and I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have somebody guiding me. So I just bought, and I was refinancing up. Do you know that pre-recession, they were allowing you to refinance up to like 95% for investors? And I was the dumb 20-something year old that would just do that. So I pull all this money out, stick it in my pocket, bring the value all the way up to 95% of value. Come 2008, now I have property. It's only worth 50 cents on the value. My mortgages aren't getting paid because my renters aren't paying. I had no money in the bank. Well, Brandon, what did you do with all the money you were stripping out with the equity? Well, guys, I was living at large. I was in debt. I was buying German cars. I was buying up all kinds of goods and eating out all the time, and you know, all the stuff that stupid 20-something year olds would do. And I just wasn't saving. I had probably $20,000 in the bank. You know, tens of thousands of dollars, under 50 for sure. But you know, when it was all said and done, when the shit hit the fan, I saw the writing on the wall with 2008, it was $20,000. I'm like, oh my God. Now, within a period of 6 months, I was out of money and I had to go talk to my creditors, and you guys know the story. I ended up losing it all. Creditors won't work with me, except for one out of like six community banks. One of them tried to work with me. The other one said, screw you. We're gonna make you an example because you were bringing all your investor friends over here. And if you go down, they're gonna be scared to do it and nobody else will go down. So they pushed my back up against the wall. They literally took my personal house where I had like $200,000 in value there in equity, and I only owed $7,000 on it. They literally called that note due because they had a cross-collateralization clause in another note where I had flip properties with them, and I couldn't sell them because of 2008. So I was only like a couple of days past due. I sent in some payments. They didn't cash it. Only within a couple of days late, they called that note due, which allowed them to cross-collateralize and call my personal house due. And the reason why they did that was because I had $200,000 in equity, and they were just scared. Banks, community, this is why banks got absorbed, like the bigger banks. They're more regulated now. A lot of you guys don't know real estate from back in the day, but community banks were like legalized mafia. They would not break your legs, but they would break your financial legs. They would break the freaking ground that you were standing on, and they did. Dave Ramsey has a similar story. I've got that story. 27-year-old, went bankrupt, and $2 million, 20 homes lost my personal house, and ended up having to go rent from a friend. So, but I realized that at that point, you know, I didn't want to do real estate in that first year. And I've talked about this in one of the most recent episodes. I didn't want to do real estate in that first year. But I'm an entrepreneur. I knew something was in me. I knew I was destined for more. So I did a couple sales jobs. I never went to go work for the man. I never went to go back to corporate America. I just had 7 years as an adult, as an entrepreneur, and I just wasn't going to go back. And then I had 5, 6 years before as an entrepreneur off and on, and then somewhat trickling in some corporate America, and realized that I am destined for more. I need that extra $50,000, $60,000 a year. I need that extra $150,000, $160,000 a year, $350,000, $360,000 a year. I want more for my family. I'm not freaking going down in the trailer park. I'm not freaking going down and not making something of myself. It was this drive. It was this drive in me that said I could do more. And it's hard to explain unless you are an entrepreneur, unless you are somebody. And then, you know, what scares me is corporate America. You've seen it over the last 20 years specifically. In the 90s and the early 2000s, corporate America was this thing. You were supposed to go to college and get a good job, but now people are being run out of business from Amazon. People are being replaced with computers. You're seeing the downsizing of the companies. You're seeing the pandemic in 2020 forcing closures. You're seeing all this stuff. I have literally had, in the last several months, friends who are CEOs of this massive German company come to me and say, I want to do real estate because My income is not stable. He makes $350,000 a year as a CEO. He travels the world. They give him the best of the best and luxury with that job. I've had friends who work in corporate America that want a little extra something. They want a vacation home where they can create memories with their kids, their wife, and their husband. They want this vacation home where they can actually go in and have a guest pay down their vacation home every month, and they got somewhere to travel to create those memories. I have other people who are nurses who want a little extra money because they're scared of freaking being involved with nursing right now. They want to create wealth for themselves through real estate. I've seen other people who are piddling around, who are retired, have nothing to do, and they want to stay busy. They want to get involved in real estate. Guess what? For those of you who are listening, obviously you're interested in real estate because you wouldn't be here if you weren't. But if you are on the fence and you're just trying to soak up a lot of education, I'm here to tell you there's never been a greater time than now. There's never been opportunity like now. Whether you're an entrepreneur from the get-go like me, and you were called to do it, you were called to make more money because you were special, you were supposed to do it for yourself, or you've been forced because of corporate America or the global society is starting to scare you with what's going on in the world. You need to realize that whatever you put your hands to will profit if you're consistent and you put in the hard work and the diligence and you have the right mentors. You need to realize that corporate America won't save you. First time that their neck is on the line, your neck is on the line. They're going to cut you. First time that something happens with the economy, they're going to, you know, demote you. You are unstable with your stability that you think is stable. You need to realize that you need a side hustle. Whether you want to go into real estate full time, or you just want a part-time income, or you just want a little bit of wealth building so you can have a retirement, you need to realize that your job is not going to provide you that. And you may love your job. You may love what you're doing, but you know that you need a little extra. That's what real estate can do for you. It can provide you a little extra, and it also can provide you a whole lot more. So if you are in faith and you want to learn all about real estate, such as I'm talking about, and you really haven't made that leap yet, then I highly recommend you text me. Text me holiday to 404-341-2897. Again, 404-341-2897. I'm going to send you back a holiday code. We have actually launched and reduced all these programs for this week only, between now, from Christmas Day to 12/31, December 31st. And each one of these programs that are over $1,000 a piece are only $247 each now. You owe it to yourself to give yourself a little bit more. You owe it to yourself to try to become an entrepreneur. You owe it to yourself to put yourself out there to build some wealth for yourself. Whether you want to do it full-time or you want to do it part-time, that's okay. But you owe it to yourself to learn a little bit more. So again, text HOLIDAY to 404-341-2897, and I'm going to send you the link to this holiday special, $247 for the long terminal course, $247 for the short terminal course, $247 for the fix and flip course, $247 for the wholesaling course. All right, guys, if you like this episode or you are excited about this offer, please share this holiday offer with your friends. And actually, I am going to send the holiday offer link in the show notes here below. When you listen to this, send this off to your friends. Like, help another person and help them in need. And or if you want to give a late Christmas present, go ahead and purchase this for somebody else. All right, guys, see you in the next episode.